And welcome in to a Tuesday edition of the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Thanks for spending some time with us on this Tuesday morning, a jam-packed show for you. And we start off this morning with, the big conversation over the last couple of days. It has been all around tariffs, and you heard the conversation and trade war this, trade war that, after President Donald Trump said, well, he used one of his favorite words, which was tariffs. And we'll have a deeper dive into the tariff discussion. We'll be joined by economist Vance Ginn coming up a little bit later on this morning, and we'll dive a little bit deeper into the tariff discussion and conversation as a whole. From an economic standpoint, what actually is a tariff? What does that mean? The impact that it has. So walking us back over the last couple of days, how did we get to where we are this Tuesday morning? Donald Trump threatened tariffs on Mexico and Canada back a couple of weeks ago, and they were set to go into effect last night. And so over the last couple of days, you've had a big, a lot of conversation, as you would imagine, taking place surrounding tariffs. And these other countries, and specifically we're talking about Canada and Mexico. We've got some China news that we'll get into as well, but specifically Canada and Mexico. And Trump was threatening to impose some pretty significant tariffs, upwards of 25% on those countries. And we learned yesterday that after conversations with both the Prime Minister of Canada and Justin Trudeau and the President of Mexico and Claudia Sheinbaum, well, that at least for now, those tariffs are on a temporary hold. We'll start in Mexico this morning because that was the first country to cave, to fall to some of the demands from President Trump. We'll start there, where Mexico is immediately deploying thousands of troops to the U.S. southern border in response to those threatening tariffs. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum yesterday announced that she is immediately deploying more than 10,000 National Guard soldiers to the southern border to help mitigate the flow of drugs and illegal immigration through our U.S. southern border. In exchange, the Trump administration is putting a 30-day pause on its 25% tariffs on Mexican imports and working to quell the flow of arms south of the border. And so that's presumably how Trump was trying to have this play out. And I mentioned this yesterday, and I still stand by what I said. Tariffs, as a practice, as a policy, are not good for American consumers. And we'll talk about with economist Vance Ginn coming up in a little while. Tariffs are not good. Tariffs are passed on to the U.S. consumer. Trump admitted as much Sunday night, flying back to the White House, saying tariffs in the short term could have pain for the American consumer. There's no argument to be made that tariffs are going to help the U.S. consumer, at least in the short term. Now, there's long-term discussion that can be had, and we will likely get to that over time. Tariffs as a practice are not good for the United States. They are not good for the U.S. consumer. I'm sorry. You can, if you disagree, I'd love to hear from you. You can throw a comment in our live chats this morning over on YouTube, Rumble, and X. I'm working on getting a text message line set up so you can text the show live. We'll be able to pull those comments into the program for you to comment or leave comments after the fact on YouTube and Rumble. Always taking a look at those and reading those. But that's my stance on tariffs, and it's not going to change. I'm not an economist, but I know enough about economics. I know enough about free market economics to say pretty handedly this idea of throwing tariffs all over the place and having them actually go into effect is not beneficial for the U.S. consumer. And long-term will probably not be beneficial for the U.S. economy. But as I've said before, the threat of tariffs are a good bargaining chip. Trump says it's one of his favorite words in the dictionary. He jokes about that. And I guess this is what it all shakes down to. Mexico's sudden willingness to meet Trump's demand coincides with an illicit fentanyl epidemic that has rocked the United States, according to Daily Caller, with over 21,000 pounds of drugs seized at the southern border during just the final year of the Biden administration. That data coming from Customs and Border Protection. The country has also served as a major conduit for millions of migrants to illegally traverse into the United States, and more recently allowed a record-setting number of migrant encounters to take place with border agents. And it's important to note, you know, when we talk about the U.S. southern border, which obviously is Mexico, it's not just individuals from Mexico or Mexicans coming into the country. It's all of southern America, and it's individuals from other countries that are flying into portions of Mexico, of southern America, and then making the trek through the country. It's a vehicle, no pun intended, for individuals to cross into the U.S. We've got to be honest and clear about this. We're not talking about just individuals from Mexico coming into the country through the southern border. It's literally the entire world. They're using the very porous southern border under the previous administration as their venue or their vehicle to come into the country illegally. Because, of course, Democrats didn't want to enforce our immigration law. Democrats thought it was a good idea to allow tens of millions of hundreds of thousands of millions of people into the country illegally. They thought that was going to be good somehow for the United States. So Sheinbaum, the Mexican president, put this post on social media yesterday. Quote, "We," meaning presumably the Mexican government, "had a good conversation with President Trump with great respect for our relationship and sovereignty, and we reached a series of agreements. Number one, Mexico will immediately reinforce the northern border," that's their northern border, "with 10,000 members of the National Guard to prevent drug trafficking from Mexico to the United States, particularly fentanyl. Number two, the U.S. is committed to working to prevent the trafficking of higher-powered weapons to Mexico. And three, our teams will begin working today on two fronts, security and trade." Now, this announcement followed confirmation by the White House that both Mexico and Canada imports would be hit with 25% tariffs beginning February 1st until both countries did more to stop illegal immigration and illicit drugs from entering the United States. All of this while it actively remains far below its southern counterpart. Lawful crossings at the northern border have also spiked 1,000% under the Biden administration. So that's what was going on with Mexico, this specifically with Mexico. And the Daily Caller article goes on to say, you know, talking about the plague of fentanyl and opioid deaths that have taken place in our country really since the late 1990s and into the early 2000s. But this number to me was pretty shocking. 108,000 people died from drug overdoses in 2022. 108,000 people, 82,000 of those deaths involving opioids. For you not to be able to admit that that is a major and massive issue is astonishing. I mean, if 100,000 people, 108,000 people were being shot due to gun violence that the left always likes to talk about, it would be front page news, top story on CNN and MSNBC 24/7 around the clock. If 108,000 people were getting shot and killed at the hands of firearms, right? These scary guns that the left talks about, it would be the top news 24/7, 365. No argument about that at all. So it's a huge issue. Biden did nothing, cared nothing about it at all. Trump cares about it. His team, his administration, they care about it. The president, that's being Trump, posted on Truth Social, quote, "I just spoke with President Claudia Sheinbaum of Mexico. It was a friendly conversation wherein she agreed to immediately supply 10,000 Mexican soldiers on the border separating Mexico and the United States. These soldiers will be specifically designated to stop the flow of fentanyl and illegal migrants into our country. we further agree to immediately pause the anticipated tariffs for 1 month, for a one-month period of time, during which we will have negotiations headed by Secretary of State Marco Rubio and Secretary of Treasury Scott Bassett, as well as the Secretary of Commerce Howard Lutnick and high-level representatives of Mexico. So you can, you know, put one win on the column there for Trump in regards to tariffs in regards to Mexico. Threatened a 25% tariff. Mexico responded. Obviously, not sustainable for them, not sustainable for us long term. They came back to the negotiating table, and over the next 30 days, so leading into the later parts of February, first couple days of March, there will be some more long-term negotiations. Hopefully, those go well, and the tariffs don't have to be in place. Mexico does their part. The United States does their part. There's a concern about high-powered weapons being smuggled into Mexico from the United States. Both parties do their part. Everybody wins. So that's the latest that we're tracking on the Mexico front this morning. Then hours later, right around 5 o'clock Eastern yesterday, we learned that there had been some concessions from Canada. Same situation going on there. We heard the details, 25% tariffs being put on Canada. And the details there are as follows. President Trump and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced a temporary deal Monday evening to halt the 25% tariffs on each other's imports for 30 days while a final border security package gets hashed out there. So according to the details over at, this is over at the New York Post this morning, but Trudeau and Trump both spoke twice yesterday. We heard in the press briefing, or not press briefing, we heard from Trump yesterday that he would be having a second call with Trudeau around 3 o'clock Eastern, and this news broke just before 5, so it seems like that call went well. And the agreement there, Canada is set to ensure that 10,000 troops will be stationed at their southern border, Canada's southern border, the U.S.'s northern border. And the Prime Minister and Justin Trudeau vowed to take steps to crack down on fentanyl smuggling through the Mexico border. Trump posted this on Truth Social, quote, Canada has agreed to ensure that we have a secure northern border and to finally end the the deadly scourge of drugs like fentanyl that have been pouring into our country. Canada will be implementing their $1.3 billion border plan. As president, it is my responsibility to ensure the safety of all Americans, and I'm doing just that, the president added. I am very pleased with the initial outcome. In a separate post on X, Justin Trudeau indicated that Canada would move ahead with that plan that Trump mentioned, the $1.3 billion border plan that was announced in December. This was weeks after Trump first threatened those 25% duties or tariffs that were set to take place at 12:01 a.m. this morning. So last night essentially was the final day. Midnight this morning was when those were supposed to take place. And interesting to note, and I'm glad the New York Post points this out in their article, Canadian energy products would have only had a 10% tariff rate because a 25% tariff on Canadian energy products would have caused gas prices to absolutely skyrocket in the Midwest, which predominantly that's where they get their oil and gas from. So that is great news on the Canadian side. That initiative, Trudeau says, meaning the border plan, includes reinforcing the border with new choppers, technology, and personnel, enhancing coordination with our American partners, and increased resources to stop the flow of fentanyl. Nearly 10,000 frontline personnel are and will be working on protecting the border. He continued by saying, in addition, Canada is making new commitments to appoint a fentanyl czar. We will list cartels as terrorists and ensure 24/7 eyes on the border. Launch a Canada-U.S. joint strike force to combat organized crime, fentanyl, and money laundering. I have also signed a new intelligent directive on organized crime and fentanyl, and we'll be backing it up with $200 million worth of backing and funding. So, I mean, if you're keeping a score at home, and I guess I need to come up with some graphics to keep track here on the show. That's two major wins for Trump. The president has made his stance very clear on specifically, let's just boil this down to what it is, border security, whether that be Mexico or Canada, for multiple reasons. You've got the migration side of it, which is a major issue, could be a major, it continues to be a major issue for American voters, the American populace. That's one aspect of it. And the other, of course, is the drugs that we were just talking about. Fentanyl, opioids. These fake counterfeit pills that are coming across the border being sold to high school and college students as, you know, Xanax and things like that. Turns out it's laced with fentanyl. They're overdosing and they're dying. Got 16 and 17-year-olds that are trying to study for tests and you know, not that you should be taking unprescribed pills, but they're trying to take things like Adderall and Xanax and things like that. They're not able to get a prescription for it, so they're buying it illegally, which, again, is not great, but it's happening. We can bury our head in the sand all we want and pretend that it's not happening, but it is. That it's happening, and they're dying, they're overdosing on fentanyl. It's a major, major issue. And so Trump is laser-focused on border security. Trump is laser focused on dealing with drugs and the flow of migration through the northern and southern borders here in America. And if you're keeping track of the score at home, that's two major wins for Trump. Now, these are short term. Both of the tariff levies are blocked for 30 days, both Canada and Mexico. So between Secretary of State Rubio and other folks within the administration, they're going to have to come to a more long-term legitimate deal over the next month. Presumably, the fact that both places were willing to cave as quickly as they were to the tariffs, I think it's safe to say that the United States is probably to get what they want. But it's a negotiation. We're not, you know, it's not immediately clear this morning how some of this stuff will play out long-term. So two major wins for Trump and two major wins for the American economy. Because, again, as I noted, and we'll talk about coming up a little bit later on, these tariffs would have been incredibly detrimental to the U.S. economy. Now, Trump disagrees with that. He even said, quote, yesterday, tariffs are very powerful both economically and in getting everything else that you want. So that's where he stands on that. But I want to pivot a little bit before we get into some more discussion on tariffs, specifically coming from China, because there's some news on that that I need to bring to you this morning as well. I want to talk about the Democrats and their concern about the economy. I spent a lot of time yesterday, busy news day, watching and reading a lot of the news specifically surrounding tariffs. That was the word of the day yesterday. And as I was watching CNN and MSNBC, which I like to do, I like to see what the other side is saying. I like to see the narrative that is being spun. I was kind of taken aback by the conversation that they were having about the U.S. economy. I kept hearing economist after economist. I kept hearing liberal pundit after pundit and Democrat operative this and Democrat lawmaker that over and over again talking about the prices for American consumers. You saw old Chuck Schumer's stint with his Corona beer and his avocado talking about how your Corona and your guacamole are going to be so much more expensive as these tariffs go forward. And I thought to myself this, since when the hell do Democrats care about pricing for the American consumer? And I mean it. Since when do Democrats care about prices that affect the American consumer? Democrats buried their head in the sand under the previous administration and ignored inflation. They completely ignored rising prices for American consumers because it was detrimental to their political ideology. It was detrimental to their tax and spend policies that got the U.S. in the position that it's in. There was no outrage from Chuck Schumer. There was no outrage from Democrats when prices were skyrocketing under Joe Biden. There was no outrage. They didn't care because, you know, they wanted things like the Green New Deal. They want to take U.S. energy and make it wind and solar at any cost. They want hundreds of millions of dollars for their pet projects all throughout the United States. And how do they get all of that money? Well, they spend more than they take in. They continue to raise the deficit. They continue to spend frivolously our taxpayer dollars. And not once did I hear the outrage from Chuck Schumer. Not once did I hear the outrage from CNN and MSNBC and all of these pearl-clutching networks yesterday talking about the American consumer. They didn't give a damn about that under Biden. They couldn't care less if inflation was at 9.5% under him. But now that Trump's talking about tariffs, all of a sudden, they care so much about the American consumer. Now that Trump is bringing up tariffs that, as I noted, and I've been very consistent on, will have an impact on the American consumer, now all of a sudden, the moral left, the high ground left, high ground Democrats, are so concerned. They're clutching their hearts for the American people that are going to have to spend more on guacamole and spend more on Corona. It's pathetic. And people remember this stuff. They remember that the media, they remember that Democrats like Chuck Schumer didn't have anything to say when prices were sky high under Biden. No emergency press conference pulling various food and drink items out from under the podium and smiling like a jackass under the Biden administration. Who? Your guacamole is going to be more expensive. Hey, I'm Chuck Schumer. I mean, it's laughable. Since when have these people cared about pricing? Since when have these people cared about the American middle class? They haven't. If they truly cared about that stuff, they'd get back to work in Congress. They'd start cutting the budget. And they'd start providing some sort of relief to the American populace. But they don't. And there's a good reason that they don't. As I mentioned, for them to get serious about spending, they'd have to get rid of things like diversity, equity, and inclusion, a multi-billion dollar industry running rampant in the federal government. They'd have to get rid of things like the Green New Deal. They'd have to potentially look at shutting down U.S. federal agencies or cutting back workforce on agencies that don't really do a lot of work, but provide, you know, government jobs to individuals, which provide no value to the U.S. economy in any way, shape, or form. So the Democrats can gaslight the American people on prices and how expensive things are going to be, but it doesn't work because we've lived through it for the last 4 years. We dealt with the daily struggle. I mean, you've gone to the grocery store and you've seen how expensive it is to buy things. It's a serious issue. So I wanted to make sure I pointed that out. So just keep that in mind over the next couple of months and weeks and maybe years as the discussion about tariffs and the economy continue. You can have a legitimate discussion about tariffs and the impact on the American consumer, which I will continue to do because I feel strongly about it. But do not be misled. Do not be gaslit by Democrats on how much they care about you, how much they care about the economy, how much they care about the goods and services that you're going to be buying. It is complete and total BS. They don't. They never have. They never will. Just keep that in mind as you're seeing, you know, your liberal friend posting on Facebook about tariffs. You know, of course, who knows nothing about economics at all. But because Orange Man did something, it's relevant to talk about. Think they can, you know, get one up on Trump. No care at all under the Treasury Department under the previous administration printing money beyond belief, skyrocketing interest rates. No concern whatsoever there. But now Trump's doing something, we're concerned. Now, let me be clear on my stance. I was concerned about the economy, inflation, and the impact that had on the American people under the previous administration. I made that very clear if you used to listen to the morning radio show. And I'm very concerned about it right now as well. So I'm going to make sure I'm very consistent on that, which I know is a huge struggle for the left. They struggle, as Trump would say, bigly in dealing with that. Before we get into what's going on with China this morning, some very interesting details coming out there, I want to remind you that you can support the show and get access to things like daily show notes, as well as bonus content and our monthly hangout. You can visit patreon.com/Nick Craig. We've got a couple of different tiers available there, $5 or $10 a month. If you're a listener of the show and believe that you're getting some value, I encourage you to head on over there, patreon.com/Nick Craig. We've had a couple of we've had a good number of folks come on board over the last few weeks and support the show financially. It is greatly appreciated. Helps with some of the operating costs of servers and storage and various services to keep the show up and running. So greatly appreciated. Patreon.com/Nick Craig, or click the support link over at nickcraig.com. So we talked about Mexico and Canada. Trump seemingly got what he want there. We'll track it over the next 30 days and see what happens. However, China, this is a different one. And we are getting new details early this morning as U.S. tariffs go into effect on China. Beijing is responding back with counter tariffs. So here's the detail over at the Epic Times this morning. The 10% tariffs ordered by President Trump on all goods imported from China did go into effect at 12:01 a.m. this Tuesday morning, with Beijing responding with counter tariffs the same day. The new levies on China are in addition to those imposed by Trump during his first administration, which range from 10 to 25% for various goods. China's Ministry of Commerce announced yesterday that it was implementing, or today rather, that it was implementing counter tariffs on multiple U.S. products while announcing other trade-related measures, including an investigation into Google. The communist regime said that it would implement a 15% tariff on coal and liquefied natural gas, or LNG, products, as well as a 10% tariff on crude oil, agricultural machinery, and large displacement cars. So Canada, or China rather, unlike Canada and Mexico, is not coming to the bargaining table with Trump. They've said, okay, we see your tariff, we raise you, or we call your bluff, we're also going to put tariffs on the board, and that's exactly what they're doing. U.S. Customs and Border Protection officials issued guidance on Monday to explain the new tariffs and the new rule effect package coming to the United States from China, including products from Hong Kong. Exemptions previously allowed for low-value items below $800 under the so-called de minimis rules are no longer permitted. And that's really how that allowed this to be easily dealt with in the past. Right, when you go on Amazon and buy some cheap product from China, which I'll admit I do just like everybody else, or you go to Walmart or Target and buy some cheap crap there because it's cheap and that's what we do, that stuff was not under these previous tariffs because it was under this $800 limit. The taxes do not apply to items intended for donation to relieve human suffering or certain media products, including films, publications, or other informational material. However, all other products, including electronics, consumer goods, automotive, health and medicine, food and ag, energy, and automotive are among the other industries and manufactured items are going to be subject to those fees. Trump signed an executive order on Saturday imposing the tariffs on China as a response to the manufacturing and the distribution of chemicals that criminal networks can turn into fentanyl. We're all very well aware of that. And with that, The Trump administration says, quote, the Chinese Communist Party, which exerts ultimate control over the government and the enterprises of the People's Republic of China, have subsidized and otherwise incentivized Chinese chemical companies to export fentanyl and related precursor chemicals that are used to produce synthetic opioids sold illicitly in the United States. That is true. That is happening. That is nothing new. A lot of these drugs that are making their way across the southern border are being, at least the precursors to it, some of the chemicals that allow it to be pressed and turned into pill form, are being made in portions of China. And Trump has accused the communist regime of providing support and, quote, a safe haven for criminal networks known to launder profits for the sale of those fentanyl products. Now, this will have an impact on the U.S. economy. This will have an impact on everyday goods and services, or everyday goods that you buy. Because so much of what we purchase, especially if you're somebody that shops online using various retail outlets, not to specifically call them out, but places like Amazon and Walmart, a vast majority of their product is coming from China. A vast majority of their product is not originating here, is not being made in the United States. And again, we can have a discussion about products, more products need to be made in the U.S. We can have a discussion about increasing U.S. manufacturing. That is a good thing. And by the way, I'm all in favor of increasing U.S. manufacturing. I'm not against that in any way, shape, or form. I think it's a good discussion to have. But in the meantime, because we're not there yet, we don't have that infrastructure set up. We don't have the ability to generate those same goods that we get from China, which we love. We're addicted to it as U.S. consumers. We do not have the ability to get those same products on the shelves at those same costs right now. Is that a goal to have in the future? I think so. Is that a more in-depth, more detailed conversation to have? Yes, I think so. So that's what's going on with China. So Mexico and Canada, 30-day halt. They're both back at the negotiating table. We'll see how that plays out. China, not so much. Trump continues to say that the tariffs are powerful. Now we'll have to see what the impact is. We'll have to see what kind of impact that has on the U.S. consumer. And we'll keep a very close eye on that. We'll be joined coming up here in just a couple of minutes by a PhD economist, Vance Ginn. We'll talk about tariffs, the more broad conversation about tariffs as a whole and the impact that that could have. Now, before we get into that, I want to tell you about a new group that we've got on board this morning. As I go through the day and get ready for the show, well, it is pretty hard to try and get all of the information in one place. And it's difficult to stay up to date with all of the news that goes on. And it's really impossible to consult a single source for the full story. That's why I use Ground News. Ground News is an app and website that combines news from around the world in one place so that you can compare coverage. For every news source, you can see if they have a political bias and how reliable their reporting is. You can also see who owns them. They've got a really cool feature called Blind Spot as well that shows news disproportionately covered by one side of the political spectrum or the other. Really neat feature there. You can get news from thousands of sources worldwide in one place and verify your information and know where your news is coming from. I use ground.news every single day to prep for the show. And if you subscribe through my link right now, you'll get 40% off their Vantage subscription. It's the one that I use, and it gives you unlimited access to every feature. Visit nickcraig.com/ground. That's nickcraig.com/ground to learn more and save 40%. Your subscription not only helps the show, but it also supports Ground News as they make the media landscape more transparent. Again, for your 40% off, visit nickcraig.com/ground. We appreciate Ground News and their support here of the Nick Craig Show. We will grab a quick break. On the other side, we'll catch up with economist Vance Gill. We'll talk about tariffs. Plus, we'll also, after that, we'll get into USAID, a very interesting conversation. You're listening to the Nick Craig Show live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. And welcome back to the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that you can take the podcast with you 24/7 by searching for the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online at nickcraig.com. And if you would be so kind, depending on where you listen to the show, give the show a rating or review. It is greatly appreciated. Again, it's the Nick Craig Show, available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. One of President Donald Trump's favorite words is tariffs. He talks about that a lot, and that's been in the news over the last couple of days. To walk us through that this morning and get some additional details, it's my pleasure to welcome PhD economist Vance Gill to the Nick Craig Show this morning. Vance, appreciate your time this morning. I think it's interesting you've been in the economic realm as your profession for quite some time. When you've got average everyday people posting on Facebook and X about tariffs, it's a very interesting situation. Walk us through what you've been tracking over the last couple of days, and can you give us a broad overview of when we hear this word tariff, we read about it, we see it on TV, what exactly are we talking about?
Yeah, Nick, it's a pleasure to be with you, and you're exactly right. I didn't think we'd see tariffs in our social media scroll every day, it seems like, these days. But it's been that way for a while now. You know, President Trump talked about this in the 2016 election, 2017, 2018. There started a lot of the tariff discussion. And so what is a tariff? A tariff is nothing more than a tax. It's a tax that we pay as American consumers when we import something, when we purchase something from Japan, from Mexico, from China, from Canada. There's been a lot of discussion about those, you know, countries here recently, but that's really what it is a tax. And we're hearing more about it because President Trump is trying to use it as an economic tool, maybe to get countries' leadership to get to the table to have a discussion about other types of issues. Right now, the talk is about fentanyl, illegal immigration coming from Mexico. And so there's a lot of these things that are going on, Nick, but I think it is important to understand that this is a tax on Americans. Now, it's a matter of whether or not that tax, the cost of that tax, which nothing is free, so this does have a cost, if that cost is greater than any benefit that may come from it. And that's where I think we're starting to see, you know, some of the disagreements that are out there over tariffs.
You know, it's interesting what we continually hear from the president, especially with the countries like Canada and Mexico, which are in the news over the last couple of days. Vance, they are taking advantage and for a long time have been taking advantage of the United States. We heard from the president on Monday, Canada's not buying our cars. They don't allow our banks to operate in the country. How does that equate? Explain how the tariffs kind of make up for what he's claiming, which is this imbalance, I guess, from what he's saying in regards to trade.
Yeah, there's what's called the current account balance. So in trade lingo for economists, that's your exports minus imports. And so if you're exporting more, what we produce here, exporting it to other countries, that's our exports. Imports are what we purchase from other countries. Well, when your imports exceed your exports, like they do for many countries, not all countries with the United States, but for many countries, especially like Canada and Mexico, where you have a trade deficit, meaning you import more than you export, there could be a concern about that. You know, are we losing out to these other countries in some capacity? Are they taking our jobs? And can't they not have their bank accounts or other things over in another country? But the other part of this, though, is there's what's called a capital account. So the current account for trade of goods and services, and there's a capital account for trade of financial instruments. And so that's like buying stocks and bonds. That's like housing and other things. So whenever you have a trade deficit, when you import more than you export, then that equals your capital account surplus, meaning that we have more money coming in, sending those dollars back to the United States that we were importing. And so that's where this disagreement really gets into it is, should we have trade deficits with other countries? Is that somehow harming the American economy? And what happens to all the capital account, the dollars that are flowing back in? Do we like that money coming back in? And so this really brings up the different views again, you know, Nick. And I think it's really important to understand what all is being discussed here. So I'm glad we're talking about this.
Vance, you mentioned earlier the disagreement that's been brewing, and we've really seen that over the last 4 or 5 days, especially on social media. Full disclosure, Vance, you've talked about this before. You did work in the first Trump administration in OMB. You've probably seen a lot more of this disagreement on social media. You follow these circles probably a lot closer than your average consumer, your average American of news. Tell us what the disagreements are and what these two camps are right now as you're seeing it unfold.
Yeah, Nick, I mean, I was there as chief economist for the Office of Management and Budget in the first Trump administration. And so I saw and I was part of a lot of the disagreements that were there. I happen to be more of a free trade guy. I don't think that tariffs are a good tool to use to bring other countries, their leadership, their politicians to the negotiating table, because really what that is, like I said earlier, is a tax on Americans. So basically you're saying that you want to raise taxes on Americans in order to get some sort of a deal done. There, I also have disagreements with a lot of folks who will say, well, we need to be exporting more than we import. And they'll put more emphasis on how that is somehow hurting the American economy when you import more than you export. But I would always suggest, like I was saying earlier, is that that also means we have a foreign flow of funds, capital funds, to the United States, which allows us to grow, to invest in our businesses and everything else. And we produce a lot here in America, but we also have a lot of consumption. And so that consumption is where we consume from other countries. And so I think this is all part of a growing economy. I don't like the idea of saying that our imports exceed our exports and therefore we have a trade deficit and that's a slower economic growth. I like to look at trade volume. What we're importing and exporting should be a big part of this. And so I think that there's a lot of disagreements on not only trade deficits versus surplus, but also the extent to what you can go after someone with tariffs and think that that's going to bring them to the table and get what you want. And the last thing I'll say on this, and we can go through this more, but if you look after 2017 with the Trump tariffs that were put in place with China, we continued to have a pretty sizable trade deficit with China, even with those higher tariffs. And China didn't change their trade practices, which is ultimately what we had hoped would happen. And so my guess is that a lot of these other things will not change because of tariffs. It'll be other types of policies that they put in place.
It appears obvious, and you've alluded to it, that the president is attempting, and he's pretty much said as much, that he's levying or threatening to levy these tariffs to get some sort of concessions and get people to the table. And Vance, Art of the Deal, that's his book. That's kind of the way in which he operates. And he's been, to his credit, very successful at that. But there will come a point in which countries call his bluff and say, okay, put those tariffs in place. And from what I'm hearing you describe and looking at various bits of information over the last few days, that will have, in fact, a sizable impact on the American consumer, which I'll note was one of the main reasons that they elected Donald Trump. If you looked at all sorts of political polling from major universities to major news outlets during the 2024 election cycle, the economy / inflation / jobs was almost always the top issue. Trump promised to reduce those prices to voters. Doesn't seem like you can necessarily do that if you're talking about 20, 30, 40% tariffs on countries all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point. The affordability crisis across the country whenever Biden's excessive government spending and the Fed's printing of money, as we've also talked a lot about, led to inflation of 9%. It's still running pretty hot, about 3%. So anything that increases the cost of production, which about 50% of our imports is actually going into intermediate goods, meaning businesses are getting it and then using it in their other goods and services that they're producing, or especially their goods. And what that does is it raises the price for everything else, especially on the prices that have the tariffs on them. And so I just don't see this as a good outcome, a good way to go about it. What I do think, though, is important is to have a range of possibilities for what Trump could use. And I think he used that well within Colombia. Colombia didn't want to take these two jetliners, I guess, that had illegal immigrants sending back to Colombia. Trump said, hey, I'm gonna put in a tariff and then a list of 9 other things. There were visa restrictions. There were all these other restrictions in place. I don't think you could come in and isolate and say, well, this was because of the tariff. I think it was a combination of all the other things. And the fact that Trump, I mean, he talks a good game, as you talked about the art of the deal. He knows his stuff. He's a smooth politician and businessman who can talk to folks. What I would rather see him do is to try to talk to these folks instead of putting taxes on Americans, which is what a tariff does. And I think we get a lot better outcomes like we saw during the first administration.
We're joined this morning by economist Vance Ginn here on the Nick Craig Show. Vance, a lot of conversation on social media. Well, that's fine if there's tariffs on Canada and Mexico. Vance, you can just buy American. Is that a legitimate response to some of the criticism that's being levied? Just buy it in America, Vance, if you don't like the tariffs on Canada, Mexico, China, wherever it may be.
It would be great if that was the case, but for better or worse, we do purchase a lot of things from other countries. Avocados are a lot from Mexico. We also have a lot of auto parts. I mean, we have a connected economy when you think about North America. We just had the USMCA that was passed, a free trade agreement with these countries whenever Trump was there. I was actually there during that time. And now we're saying, well, look, that wasn't as good enough as it was then, if it ever was good enough. And now we want to put tariffs in place to try to deal with these problems. And so even something like cars aren't manufactured just in the United States. Many of those parts are made in Mexico, Canada, other places, and then they put them all together, maybe like Toyota in Texas, right? Or in other places. And so there is already a combination of trade, of voluntary exchanges that are happening among people in different countries. And so whenever you try to stifle that with something like tariffs, you put a struggle not only on Americans, but on other people as well who are dealing with us on a day-to-day basis. And so I just think this is a huge cost. What I'd rather see them do, right, is not only having more diplomatic talks between these countries, and I think that would make a big difference in what's happening in these countries, but also lowering the cost of doing business at home, lowering the corporate income tax rate, deregulation that the president has already mentioned, extending the Trump tax cuts. These are the sort of things that will reduce the cost of business here in America, allow us to be more competitive, and I hope that we can actually even have better free trade agreements that maybe he'll want to do with Mexico and Canada, because there were some limitations in the USMCA that could be improved.
And, you know, the president has mentioned that there might be some short-term pains. And I guess the question, Vance, is you track the U.S. consumer very closely. Can they literally sustain some of these short-term pains that the president has admitted are a real possibility if some of these tariffs are to go into effect? A lot of things still up in the air as of this morning. Can the American consumer deal with that after they've just been beaten down for the last 4 years under the Biden administration?
I mean, it's going to be rough. I mean, whenever you think about certain areas, whether it's cars, avocados and food and other things that come from these countries like Mexico and Canada, you're going to see those prices go up first because they're the ones that have the tariffs on them. But it will cycle through a lot of the other prices throughout our economy at a time when, you know, they've been hit hard by Bidenomics, from the failed Bidenomics over the last 4 years of that progressive, high spin, high tax, high regulatory situation. We need to be rolling things back in order to allow for things to be affordable again. Make America affordable again would be a great thing here. And unfortunately, the tariffs put things in the wrong direction. And so even if we were, I mean, look, this would be one thing, Nick, if we were able to have some short-term costs with tariffs and then longer-term gains, that might be one thing that maybe there's a good reasoning for it, but I don't find that there is a long-term gain from them. I feel like it's an all cost, because even with China, that we had massive tariffs on them in the first administration, we saw no changes in those economic situations. No manufacturing jobs were coming back home and things of that nature. Now, you could blame COVID and Biden and other things, but I just don't think that raising taxes is a good tool to help Americans when it's hurting them in the process.
Vance, you are going to continue to track this very closely, not only here in the short term, but in the long term, as this conversation's likely not to go anywhere over the next couple of years. Tell folks about the various products and things that you have. You've got podcasts, you've got your social media outlet, you're writing all over the place. Tell folks how they can stay in tune with you.
Yeah, so you can check me out at vancegann.com. That's the easiest place. But you can also find my newsletter at vancegann.substack.com. And check out my podcast, Let People Prosper Show, and all the major outlets that are out there for podcasts. And I work with about 20 think tanks across the country, including Americans for Tax Reform, Kansas Policy Institute, and others. They're all doing great work. And what they're really pushing is pro-growth efforts that spend less, tax less, and regulate less. That will let people prosper.
Vance, as always, really appreciate the time. Economist Dr. Vance Ginn joins us this morning on the Nick Craig Show. Obviously appreciate Vance's time this morning. I greatly appreciate him joining us here, having that in-depth discussion and conversation on those tariffs, which we have been tracking and keeping an eye on all morning. Let's turn our attention to an interesting group. You heard probably a lot about this yesterday. USAID or USAID, as it's well known, as dozens of senior officials were put on leave there over the last 48 hours or so, thousands of contractors laid off. And what we learned yesterday is that USAID, they were the organization, the entity, was not allowing anybody into the office yesterday. And of course, Medlem took place on social media because of that. You heard a whole bunch of conversations back and forth about how, of course, Trump is unconstitutionally doing this, unconstitutionally doing that. But it's very interesting to know USAID and what they spend their money on is incredibly disturbing. This is, once again, taxpayer dollars that you and I don't have a choice on whether we're spending, don't have a choice on whether we're paying. The president has sent his press secretary and Caroline Leavitt out yesterday to talk about USAID, talk about USAID. And these are some of the things the Democrats are freaking out about USAID. Oh my gosh, we're not going to be able to go forward. We're not going to be providing aid anymore. So I want you to listen to this clip, and then I want you to ask yourself if you think this is a good use of your dollars. As you work your 40-hour-a-week job, you bust your rear end to provide for your family, to enjoy your yearly family vacation, the things that you want to do in your life. I want you to ask yourself if you think this is a good use of your taxpayer dollars. Take a listen. This is Caroline Leavitt yesterday.
You're watching live coverage.
Through USAID over the past several years, these are some of the insane priorities that that organization has been spending money on. $1.5 million to advance DEI in Serbia's workplaces, $70,000 for a production of a DEI musical in Ireland, $47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia, $32,000 for a transgender comic book in Peru. I don't know about you, but as an American taxpayer, I don't want my dollars going towards this crap, and I know the American people don't either, and that's exactly what Elon Musk has been tasked by President Trump to do, to get the fraud, waste, and abuse out of our federal government. Right. Thank you, guys.
Well, very short and sweet there from the press secretary doing exactly what she needs to do. You've got these federal agencies, specifically USAID, which stands for the U.S. Agency for International Development, started during the Cold War. And that's what they're spending our taxpayer dollars on. Do you think that is a good use of your money? I am of the mindset, I am of the opinion that that is not the case. I don't believe that it is pertinent for U.S. taxpayers to pay for comic books in Peru that are featuring transgender characters. I'm not even sure how something like that comes to fruition. You know, there's often this discussion about the government and, you know, deep state is the term and the phrase that you've probably heard thrown around before. And I think this is all kind of intertwined. I think this is all interconnected. Who in their right mind believes that spending, and how does it even come to the forefront where somebody believes that spending $47,000 on a transgender opera in Colombia is pertinent? How does that even materialize? I don't know, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend to have the answer. What we do know this morning is that the U.S. Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, has confirmed that he is now the acting head of USAID. While he was speaking with reporters in El Salvador yesterday, as he continues his trip, he was in Panama over the weekend. He's continuing his way into portions of Southern America. Rubio confirmed that he would be in charge of the agency and said, quote, "I am the acting director and I have delegated that authority to someone I stay in touch and I will be staying in touch with him." So he's delegating that authority. Rubio said this, quote, "USAID is not functioning. It has to be aligned with U.S. policy. It has to be aligned with the national interests of the United States. They are not a global charity. These are taxpayer dollars. People are asking simple questions. What are they doing with the money? We are spending taxpayer money on. We owe the taxpayers assurance that it furthers our national interest. Rubio also told reporters that he has been frustrated with U.S. aid for years, dating back to his time in Congress, and suggested that the agency wasn't cooperative with State Department directives. He also disputed claim that the agency works as an independent entity and can set its own policy, pointing to multiple occasions that it uses taxpayer funding. So here's what you've got. You've got U.S. aid, which is presumably been completely taken over by the left, to fund pet projects, not only in the United States, but all across the world. We have already heard in rumblings and rumors over the past couple of weeks that this agency, this organization, has been actively working against the new administration led by President Trump, that they have been unwilling to listen to directives, that they have been actively doing things to go against the new administration. There is no place in government for that. There is no place for a government agency to be balking against the current administration, whether you like the administration or not. So Rubio is now in charge of USAID. As of yesterday morning, the doors were shut in Washington, D.C. Nobody was allowed in. Of course, you saw the clips probably on social media of Jamie Raskin and Democrats crying about how Trump doesn't have the authority to do this, and he's a dictator and everything else. How everybody's all upset. And so you just have to ask yourself the question. We're funding transgender operas in Colombia, transgender comic books in Peru. Is that a beneficial use of taxpayer resources? And, you know, it's so funny to watch Democrats talk about how Trump doesn't have the authority to do what he's doing with USAID. Yet, just like the economic discussion we had earlier this morning, USAID does not have the authority to balk the current administration. USAID does not have the authority to set their own policy as to how they want to operate. And they have been actively working against the new administration. So Trump has essentially shut it down. And so Democrats can be as upset as they want about USAID. But if these government entities, these government agencies don't want to operate under this administration, then they need to no longer exist. They can't exist. You can't be a piece of the federal government and think that you can just operate willy-nilly on whatever you want. I mean, the list here of stuff from the White House is absurd. This is more from USAID and what they're spending your and my taxpayer dollars on. And you just have to ask yourself, $2 million for sex changes and LGBT activism in Guatemala. $2 million. $6 million to fund tourism in Egypt. Why in the hell should the United States be spending $6 million to fund tourism in Egypt? What is the rationale for that? $2.5 million to support the electric vehicle industry in Vietnam. $1.5 million to advance diversity, equity, and inclusion in Serbia's workplace. Trump, Elon Musk, Doge, all these groups, this is what they've been tasked to do. Go into the federal government, find where this waste is happening, and cut it out. Get rid of it. I'll say this, and I've been very encouraged, at least over the last couple of weeks, and likely to see it continue today. Trump is moving at such a rapid speed with this stuff. Every day, it's a new thing. The rumor today is that it's going to be the Department of Education. I was reading about that earlier this morning on X. Potentially a major statement today from the president on the future of the federal U.S. Department of Education. He is moving so quick on these issues that the left just can't, they can't hone in. Things are happening so quickly that they don't have time to build the outrage. They don't have time to demagogue Trump and the Republicans on any of this stuff, which, by the way, Americans would be in favor of. I think if you went in the middle of almost any city in the country, outside of maybe a few super liberal hotbeds, and said, do you think it's appropriate? And do you think it's a good use of your taxpayer dollars for would you think it's a good use of $2 million worth of your taxpayer monies for sex changes and LGBT activism in Guatemala? I think you would find a strong percentage, maybe upwards of 80 or 90% of people would say, hell no. That's what Trump, that's what Elon Musk is doing. They are going into portions and areas of the federal government that have been completely taken over by the radical left and shutting it down. Now, there will be legal challenges, there will be legal fights, no question about it. And we'll let those play out. But this is the first step. This is how you begin the change that our country desperately, 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 desperately needs. We are $36 trillion in debt. And this is the kind of money that we're spending. These are the kind of programs that we're supporting. It's absurd. It's ridiculous. And I'm glad that Elon Musk and the Trump administration, Marco Rubio and everybody else, is calling this garbage, calling this nonsense out for what it is. We're done. We won. You guys lost. We're in charge now. We're not apologizing for it. We're not walking on eggshells to placate the Democrats. It's over with. You guys lost. You guys could not convince the American people that your ideas were better. You could not convince the American people that your policies, your platform, whatever you wanted to will into existence was good for the American people. They rejected your worldview. They rejected your policies. They rejected your ambitions. The Republicans cleanly won the presidency. Popular vote, electoral college, majority in the House, majority in the Senate. You guys lost. We're in charge now. Trump talked about getting the government under control during the campaign. It's not a surprise or secret. I know the left and Democrats are freaking out. Elon Musk is running a shadow government. Trump made it very clear Elon Musk was going to be very in tune and very involved in this administration dealing with waste. He said he was going to do it, and look, and lo and behold, look at what he's done. He's done it. So buckle up. The charade is over with. The control of these government agencies with your nonsense, like transgender comic books in Peru, it's over with. You had a good run, but you were unable to convince the American people that that was the way forward. And so this is the end result. And so now USAID, at least it seems right now, is shut down. We'll see, definitely be some legal challenges and levies against that. And then we'll go on to the next thing, potentially the U.S. Department of Education. We'll be tracking that throughout the day and provide any updates as soon as we get them. I want to remind you that if you want to get access to bonus content, including our daily show notes and bonus content, including our monthly hangout, you can do that by visiting patreon.com/Nick Craig. That's patreon.com/Nick Craig if you believe you are getting some value out of the show. Well, that's going to do it for a Tuesday edition of the Nick Craig Show, tracking another busy day expected across the nation and here in North Carolina today. We'll have it for you coming up live tomorrow morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and available 24/7 via podcast at nickcraig.com. Thank you so much for joining me. Have a great Tuesday.